If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Blue Wire.
NFL Draft. The Detroit Lions select Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Back off, looks, Goff throws, caught inside the one, fighting for the end zone, and getting in for the touchdown, Detroit Lions. Amon-Ra St. Brown. The snap, he's got it, wants to throw. Wentz looks, pressure comes. Wentz, hit, sack, back inside the 20. Aiden Hutchinson, that's number two.
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 333 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler. Joe, my main guy, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart. Nope, here with us. But Malcolm, how are we doing, my man?
Yep. What's going on, man? Doing good, bro. How you doing, man?
Better. I thought we were going to record this episode a little sooner from the Cowboys game. We took a couple days off with the holiday and New Year's. So, you know, it got to cool down a little bit, but my goodness, dude, it happened again. It happened again, man. The referees screwed us up again, dude. Like, it's just so unbelievable, but I promise you'll get a more calm reaction from me if we recorded this the night of or the day after or even 2 days after. There would be a lot more cuss words. I think we would exceed our limit of 5 cuss words per episode. Like, that was not going to happen. Now, it might get close today, but we will see. I don't know. How are you feeling now a couple of days after that game?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you. I mean, I was upset with the call, but I quickly brushed it off, and I was fine immediately after, man. But I heard you when you was at your post-game show, man. You were pissed.
I was hot.
You weren't happy.
No.
Yeah, man. That shit hits you hard, man.
It's because there was something on the line in that game. It wasn't like it was just some throwaway game that didn't mean anything for either team. This game meant a lot for both these teams. For the Cowboys, obviously, to keep their hope in the division, which ended up paying off for them big time with the Eagles' loss this Sunday. And then for the Lions, it was controlling their own destiny to be the number two seed and not hosting just one playoff game. But if they won that playoff game, guaranteeing that you would host a second playoff game in Detroit. And we know that's a big advantage for Detroit that are starving for football, and especially playoff football. We've seen it with the ticket prices of how expensive they are. Could you imagine if there was 2 guaranteed playoff games here in Detroit? And if they just lost this game, like, you know, by 7, or if they didn't score that touchdown at the end, I'd be like, whatever. We lost the game. We fought hard, and it is what it is. But when you have the game in your hand, you see the Lions actually up with 23 seconds left in the game. And then you see the flag come out like 2 minutes afterwards, and you see that score just change back. It gave me PTSD from the Falcons game. When we had the lead, they review it, and it's gone, and you have no opportunities. The only difference was you had an opportunity in this game. And we'll talk about what Campbell and his decisions there, but I don't know, man. It was just one of those things. And it's always – I'm going to use one of my cuss words. It's always fucking Dallas, dude. It's always fucking Dallas where this shit happens, and it's just so infuriating.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, for me watching that game, it brought me PTSD of when we played Dallas in that playoff game.
Yeah.
And they called back that pass interference, that pass interference play. It is one of those things, man. Like, they called a flag, they called pass interference, and then they moved the ball up, and then they say, wait a minute, no pass interference. And they moved us back. You're like, well, what the fuck? What happened? You know, that's what it reminded me of. Now, for me, it was just a little bit different as far as, I mean, I get it. The playoff seeding and all that stuff. I think the Lions is a good road team as well. That's why it didn't really bother me as much. Now, we play a team where the weather is bad. Like, we had to play against Buffalo or or another team like that. I would say, like, shit, you know, this may not be good. But I think they're a good road team. I think the teams that are ahead of us right now, most likely we won't play on a road game. Because if we play Philadelphia, if it comes down to us playing Philadelphia, they have to come to Detroit.
Because yeah, unless Philly wins this Sunday and the Cowboys lose.
Okay, so if Philly's a 2 seed at that point, then yeah, that could be rough because they will have to travel to Philly. But if everything stays as it is now, I don't think we'll see a outdoor game unless we play the 49ers. So it's not as bad as everybody think it is. Now, for me, just watching this game, it brought me a lot of hope. Because I was on the fence of what football team do we have? What kind of Detroit Lions team do we have? Are we gonna have? Or do we have a team that struggles against the mediocre teams, but play really good against good teams, or don't play good against good teams? Or what type of Detroit Lions? Like, we're gonna see consistent football. Like that's what I wanted to see from Detroit. I wanted to see what type of football team we have, and a lot of my questions was answered this game. Because they played their ass off. I think this game showed that the Detroit Lions can hang with anybody. We had to go to Dallas. Dallas is a very tough place to play in Dallas. And they took them down to the wire. I think, you know, not that I think, we won that game. You know, everybody knows we won that game. Then that, I think for me, I think that's more important. I think for the players, for the fans, I mean, we won that game. That's all you have to feel. That's all you have to know is that we went to Dallas and played one of the elite teams in the NFC, and we won that game. So now we're heading to the playoffs. I think, you know, it's going to travel. I think we have a chance to be anybody. That's how I feel right now.
I will say, though, compared to previous years where the Lions get screwed over, it feels like those games are a lot more bigger moments for the Lions. Like they're knocked out of the playoffs or they're knocked out of division hopes or something like that. I mean, it is kind of a luxury that we're talking about right now. We're talking about losing the 2 seed compared to the 3 seed. And within big picture, like it is a big deal, but like you're still in the race. You still won the division. It's not like the Lions lost in Minnesota and now they really need this game week 18. Now this game really means nothing. I mean, we're going to get into that game later into this episode, but you're right. It is a luxury that we're talking about. It's not one of those costing moments where your season's over after this game, after the referees blatantly messed up a call so badly. So that is a positive. And I hope, and I have a feeling that they are going to use this to their power. They're going to use this as momentum. You hear what Dan Campbell says, I have controlled fear right now. You hear Aiden Hutchinson saying, hey, they got this game. We'll get them in the playoffs. Like, that's how we're going to look at it. And I loved this analogy that Aiden Hutchinson used. It was on the St. Brown's podcast, right? He goes back to his final year at Michigan and kind of similarly, not as bad as this Lions Cowboys game, but the Michigan State game, for obviously a lot of people I bet listening are big Michigan or Michigan State fans, right? And you guys remember that game. Crazy game. Kenneth Walker wins that game, right? But there was a controversial call that Aiden Hutchinson had a strip sack and scored a touchdown in the game that called away, which was controversial. Michigan ends up losing that game. People think they're not going to make the playoffs in that year. They go out, beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten for the first time in forever, and they kind of use that as momentum after that Michigan State game. So Hutchinson kind of using that example with the Lions here is that, like, we got screwed, we got robbed versus a good team, but we use that momentum going forward, and it led us to win the Big Ten for the first time in forever. Let's see what they could do now with this. You know, and you have an opportunity versus Minnesota. And then more importantly, you got the playoffs next week. So I have a feeling they're going to use this as momentum rather than let this cost them or, you know, let them sit back and feel bad for themselves.
Absolutely, man. I think right now, I'm pretty sure Dan Campbell preached to them that we can't let the games be decided by the refs. Like, he even though the NFL games are close, but we got to execute to a point that the game is not close. This game should have been close, to be honest with you. We should have won. And Dan Campbell is probably preaching that, that you shouldn't let it get to the refs, to let the refs decide the game. So I think like you said, man, I think it's going to be control fury. I think they're going to use this as momentum, as fuel to the fire, and they're going to come out strong, man. I think that this is one of the reasons why I think Dan Campbell's still playing his starters. I think if we win this game against Dallas, he's probably not going to play starters. But I think because we lost, man, I think he wants the starters to go out there and at least put some drives together.
Well, I think he would have played a starter regardless if they won this game, because then there's actually more incentive because you get to have the 2 seed for sure locked up if you win that game, right? There's more incentive to play their starters if they won that game. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, there was opportunities in this game that the Lions could have obviously made it where it didn't have to come down to the referees making a call. Like if Derek Barnes gets that sack and it's a safety, that's a 9-point swing right there. I mean, instead it's a 92-yard touchdown to CeeDee Lamb. So yeah, there's moments both ways, but like it's tough to say that because like, you know, in a game like this, it's going to be close and it's going to have to come down to a last call or, you know, the last play of the game. So it's hard to say, just go blow out the waters, the Dallas Cowboys and Dallas. Like teams will just don't do that, man. It just doesn't happen. Yeah. So it's hard to say that. Was there opportunities for them to capitalize and make it not that? Yeah. You could say about any game in the NFL, I think, but I don't know, man. It's just really annoying because it felt like they had the play, felt like they did everything right. And it just got completely robbed away from them, man. It just got completely robbed away from them. Now, get away from that play. What were your thoughts of Dan Campbell continuing to go for it another time? And then not converting it, getting kind of bailed out. Micah Parsons jumps offside, then goes for it again. Like, what are your thoughts on Dan Campbell choosing to do that?
All right, so after speaking to a lot of people about this, because I went on Twitter, and my initial reaction was, what the fuck? You know, I felt like, you know, if the Lord was giving you a sign, like if you say, oh, Lord, show me a sign. I think he was showing you many signs to just kick the field goal. You know, after the first time you got screwed over by the refs, and now you lose yards, and now you're, on your 7-yard line, still trying to go for it to end the game. And then you get bailed out again, and now you have another shot. Like, it's like, all right, when should you try to kick it and go to overtime? Now, I'm looking at the game the first time around, and I'm like, all right, our defense is playing acceptable. We are getting stops. We're forcing them to field goals. And we're not like, they're not just running through us, and we can't stop them. So even if we went to overtime, that gives us a better chance of us winning the game versus if we miss the extra, we miss the 2-point conversion, which what we did, it gives us 0 point. Like it lowers the shot because now you're hoping for an onside kick. You know, it just the chances are better if you just went to overtime to win the game. So originally thinking like, all right, what the fuck are we doing? But after talking to a lot of people about it, and realizing what the bigger picture, which is Dan Campbell not wanting to play another quarter of football because guys already were hurt and he just wanted to get out of there. So I get that. I get that. Now, if this was a playoff game, so this was a wild card game, and he did this, I will be furious. I will be livid. I'll be pissed. And then I won't hear any excuses about, oh, yeah, yeah, it's a wild card game, but he just wanted to end it. That, fuck no. Like the difference between playing chess and checkers, you know, you can't just sometimes you gotta play the chess game and you gotta be strategic and play the chess game. And sometimes that means kicking an extra point and going to overtime. Like sometimes you just gotta go to overtime, it happens, and you gotta trust your defense. You can't just say, yeah, you go to overtime and yeah, if they win the coin toss, you're gonna lose. No, the fuck, that doesn't mean you're gonna lose.
Your not in this game,
it just means your defense has gotta play defense, get a fucking stop. Make them kick a field goal. Give your offense a chance. You know, if this is a situation where your defense can't get any stops, I'm talking about where they haven't punted the ball all game. Shit, go for it as many times as you want. And shit, I don't give a fuck. Because at that point, you go to overtime, yeah, you're going to lose. If they get the coin toss, you're going to lose. But this whole narrative of, oh, yeah, you go to overtime, you're betting on a coin toss, and shit. What? They win the coin toss, so what? Your defense go out there and get the goddamn stop. I don't get it. I don't get that narrative. Why do people say this all the time?
It's different, dude. Like, I understand the narrative in the Chargers game, right? Like, you know, you go for fourth down, end the game, because your defense literally was not getting stops. You gave up five touchdown drives in a row. That's different. Your defense was balling out. They're getting turnovers. They're getting stops. They're getting pressure on Dak. I mean, I agree 100% with you. I see both sides of it. If this was the wild card game, if this was like a week four game, absolutely the hell not. I am not going for it three times when the sign is there. A first time, like, maybe. But even at, like, if this was like a week one game or a wild card game, I think I would kick the extra point, hypothetically, if this was the wild card game, even the first time. I know they got the play and they got screwed over. I still think I would kick the extra point with the higher defense was playing and then rely on the coin flip, whatever you want to say. But in this week 17 game where the Lions already clinched their division, J-Mo's already getting, you know, he's already injured. He's not on the field. Laporta's banged up a little bit in that game. You know, Goff takes some hits. Like, and your O-line's been kind of banged up all year. I understand not wanting to put your guys through another quarter of football. Like, that makes sense to me because you have bigger aspirations. You have a bigger picture than just winning this Dallas Cowboys game. Because if they go to overtime and Jared Goff hypothetically gets hurt or one of your offensive linemen get hurt, you're going to look back and say, damn, we could just, you know, end the game in the fourth quarter, whether we win or lost. You got to look at the big picture, because if we lost Frank Ragnow hypothetically in that game, you're like, damn, we played a whole other quarter of football when we're so close to the playoffs for no reason. It's like, why not just end it here, man? Just whatever happens, happens. If you win, great. You're going to compete for the number two seed. If not, okay, we still got the NFC North locked. We're going to have a three seed. We have an automatic home game still. You got to look at the big picture. But yeah, man, in this game, I'm okay with it just because of the context. But any other week where the North is not locked or you're in a playoff game and this is the exact situation that we're talking about in the Lions-Cowboys game where defense is doing a good enough job in getting stops, absolutely the hell not. I'm not even going for two at least once, honestly. Like, I'm not even the one on the two-yard line, I'm not going for it. I'm kicking the extra point, going to overtime, and seeing what the hell happens there.
Man, you're not wrong for that. You're not wrong for that. Now, let me ask you, man, what do you value more as far as – because the Lions winning this game, there's a lot at stake. You know, they win this game, they pretty much control the number two seed with that, in that aspect. So what do you value more? Do you value winning that game and controlling that number two seed or risking player injury playing another quarter?
It's so tough, dude. And I've been bouncing this back and forth. It's like, what is more important? And I do think the two seed is a significant jump from the three seed. Like, I do think hosting the divisional round guaranteed at your home is a big thing. Like, I think that's a huge thing than rather than having to travel wherever, if that's Philadelphia, if that's Dallas. I mean, we just talked about it. Dallas is a completely different team at home. Could you imagine if you got Dallas at Ford Field in the playoffs? Like I think that's a whole different game. But I understand with Laporta being hurt in that game and J-Mo's not already on the field. I don't know, man. I don't really have a good answer. It's like, I really truthfully see both sides of it. And I don't know, man. Like, at first I would say kick the extra point after the second and third attempt. But then I kind of, like you, it's like, I kind of see the other perspective of it. Like, other people saying, oh, we're playing for a bigger picture right now. Like, they're playing for the playoffs, not just to win this game. So I don't know. I know we're supposed to have the answers, but I truthfully see both sides of it.
Yeah, and the reason why I'm just saying that, because I honestly feel like the momentum switched. It flipped in that game. When we drove down the field and 100%. Scored a touchdown. So I really liked our chances if we would have went to overtime. I think we would have more likely won that game if we would have went to overtime. But then again, what do you value more? Do you value risking another quarter of that, or just, you know?
I think it'd be really cool for this football team, though, to go out there and be a Dallas Cowboys team on the road. So I don't mind road games. No. I'm saying, like, I think that would have been a really cool moment for the team, though. Like, you kick the extra point, go to overtime, and if you won that game, I think that's a very cool moment for the team.
Yeah, that would have been – yeah, we would have broke their streak of home games. I think that shit goes deep. I think it goes deeper than this season. Yeah. I don't know. I know they're now 8-0 at home, but I'm pretty sure.
Then they were undefeated last year too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that record goes deep. So yeah, that would have been huge. That would have been huge for the play and the everything, you know.
The thing was, though, they had it, though. Like, they thought they did it. You know, Goff even said, he's like, I've never felt that before, where, like, I thought we won the game, and 2 minutes after, it's completely robbed away from us.
Oh, yeah, because he only been alive for 4 years, right?
This is his third year.
Third year? Because that's why. Yeah, welcome to Detroit, buddy. Shit like that happens all the time.
Did you hear Stafford's reaction to the game?
Yeah, I can't believe he did it again.
They can't believe he did it again, man. Like, I can't believe he did it again. He's been through it, obviously. He knows.
He knows all about it. Like I remember Stafford like going to refs like, come on, man. Seriously, like, you know that's not right. Like, man, they did it again. I mean, it is what it is, man. But the thing is, what I'm okay with is that they came out of that game with a ton of respect. I think the respect factor is there. And that's a positive, man. This is a Lions team that was never respected, and teams know now, man. This is not a team they can fuck around with. I think, you know, this shows that we're a top team. We're one of the big dogs. You cannot fuck around with us. And that's what this game showed, man.
I mean, truthfully for me, it's like I've already felt that like earlier in the season. Like, I didn't need this game to feel that. Like, I already think teams respect us regardless before this game. But, I mean, I guess you could say now, like, they went to Dallas and essentially it looks like they won the game.
We won that fucking game, man. Everybody knows that we won that game, man.
Yeah, we won everything but the scoreboard. You know, yeah, we won everything but the scoreboard. Exactly. And that's what really matters at the end of the day. It's like, yeah, I could feel it. It feels great. Like, I felt like we compete. Like, we did compete. And, like, we felt like we won that game. But, like, at the end of the day, it's like, we didn't, though. Like, I know, like, I don't know. Like I said, thankfully, it didn't cost, like, a playoff spot or anything too significant. Like, we're honestly kind of biting, like, our nails. We're talking about from the 2-3 seed. Like, it's not a huge difference, but like, it is a difference for sure.
Yeah, 100%, man.
I don't know, man. It sucks. Brad Allen, fuck you. I'm glad that you won't be officiating any playoff games. So that's a good sign, at least. But it, like, another thing is, like, why do we know all these referees' names, dude? Klee Bleakman. We know, Pete Morelli. We know, we know all of them, dude. Brad Allen.
Those are the ones that fuck
Trey
you,
Blake, Sean Smith. John Hussey, Clay Martin. Like, I know all of them, dude. Why do I know NFL referees? I only know them because they fucked the Lions.
Yeah, every single one of the refs you mentioned, bro, one way or another, fucked us.
Shout out to Sean Smith, though. He didn't know anything wrong. Detroit native. My bad, Sean, for mentioning you. I just knew who you were. But, like, everything else, man. But, like, come on, man. Like, I shouldn't know all the NFL referees' names. Know their face, know their names. I know everything about them, dude, and it's bad.
What's his name? I saw a video with Dean Blandino.
Dean Blandino.
Yeah, Dean Blandino.
Oh, that guy's even worse, dude. How about John Perry on the broadcast booth?
Did you see the video of him saying that he's part of Lions Nation?
Did you see the reason someone paid him on Cameo for that?
Somebody paid him to say that?
Yeah.
You lying, bro.
I swear to God. He ain't a Lions fan, dude. He's lying out of his ass. He got money for that.
Wow.
Dude, I hate all of them. John Perry. Dean Blandino. Mike Pereira.
I did not know that.
Gene Steratore. All of them, dude.
I was trying to figure out the connection. I was like, shit.
No, dude, he has no connection. He got a nice little check from some guy, from some Lions fan on Cameo. And
what is the D line? I swear to God, it was the D line, bro.
I don't know who it was, but it was some guy on Twitter. I don't think it was a D line.
It was some guy on Twitter.
It's a Lions fan.
Why would they waste their money for him?
Don't ask me, dude. I hate all of them. I hate all the rules experts. I hate all the referees in the NFL. It's ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous, dude.
Let me play a sad song for you on the world's smallest violin.
All right, oopsie doopsie ball of the week. You guys already know my oopsie doopsie of the week. Here you go, Mr. Krabs. Fuck you, Brad Allen. You're my oopsie doopsie of the week. Fuck out of here.
Well, shit.
I haven't been this hot since the Hands in the Face game on the podcast, I think.
Hands in the Face? Which Hands in the Face?
That was Klee Bleakman on the Packers game, Trey Flowers.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I don't even remember that play. Damn.
Twice. Not once, but twice. Guy's even called for once in his whole career. Gets called twice in the same quarter.
Trey Flowers, man, that's a name for you.
Dude, it's always Dallas, though it's Green Bay. It's always those two teams where some funny shit happens.
And you, and this is the team you want to play in the playoffs. You want to play Green Bay.
Well, we'll talk about that later, but yeah.
Wow.
You got the honors. Piers not here. Who's your ball of the week?
All right, man. So, baller of the week. Shit. Who are we giving it to? Man, there's some guys. There's some guys. But I think there's one guy in particular who had one of his better games this week. This is a guy who I've been asking for a long time. I'm saying, brother, I know you're pressuring the quarterback, but God damn it, can you get to the quarterback? Can you get a goddamn sack for once? Like, we just, every week is like, oh yeah, Aiden Hutchinson has nine pressures with zero sacks, or he has five pressures with zero sacks. We're like, man, like, this guy's getting there, but he's not getting there. But this week, man, he got there. He got there. So this week, Aiden Hutchinson, three sacks, hat trick. He had a hat trick.
Yeah. That last one was huge too, man. Gave the Lions a chance, took them out of field goal range, and he gave the Lions a chance.
Yeah.
Kept a one-score game.
He was dominant. He showed up dominant prime time. He showed up dominant, man. This is when you need to show up, man. When the bright lights is on, prime time, you gotta let everybody know who the fuck you are, who the hell you are. Get your sacks. You get your three sacks. You get everybody talking about you. Like, oh man, look at Aiden Hutchinson balling out. A 3 sack game for Aiden Hutchinson, man. So he's gonna be my baller of the week this week.
He loves Dallas, dude. I mean, last year he had 2 sacks against them, has 3 against them this year. Like, something about Aiden Hutchinson and Dallas, and we didn't really get into it, but Aaron Glenn, shout out to him, dude. He called a great game plan against Dallas, and that's 2 years in a row, man. I feel like he's had a really good game plan against the Cowboys and you know, getting stops, getting crucial stops, and giving your team a chance. I mean, you can't control the Derek Barnes play. Like, that was a great play. They called it perfect blitz. He was a free man. I mean, Barnes just didn't finish the play. But, yeah, man, shout out to Aaron Glenn. Shout out to Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, I mean, that was – yeah. Aaron Glenn also, man, like you said, man, he came out with a great game plan this weekend. They're playing much better, man. I'm not sure if it's because of the switch to the safety room, because if he's balling out as well. But they're doing a hell of a job.
Another interception for Iffy.
Another interception for Iffy, man.
Guy had 0 in his whole career, has 2 in the last 2 weeks. Very, very critical ones too.
That's sometimes all you need, man. You need that switch, and you just get the momentum, because that's what happened to Quandre Diggs when they switched his position.
Yeah.
They moved him from nickel to safety. And yeah, man, you just need those few plays, and then out of nowhere you just explode.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's going to be interesting when CJ comes back. It looks like he could play back this Sunday. So let's just get into it right now. We play the Minnesota Vikings. Just on the top of it, what's your interest level in this game, truthfully?
My interest level?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
1 to 10. It's a Lions game, man. Let's say a solid 8.
You're excited. I'll say, like, you have some interest on it.
Yeah, it's a Lions game. You know, we only get these once a week. So I think any Lions game, man, I get excited for fucking playoff.
Uh-oh. Your daughter's calling Cap.
No. She
said, bullshit.
She said, I choose. She sneezed. That was a loud-ass sneeze. But I
don't know. That's not what I heard.
I get excited from freaking preseason football. So...
said bullshit again.
Bless you, God damn it. Damn. Yeah, so... I get excited from preseason football. So regular season football, man, even though it's week 18, I don't know, man. I'm a little intrigued.
This is just like, I don't know, man. I'm just ready for playoff football now at this point. After the Dallas game, I'm just so ready for playoff football. Like, this game does really not much for me, honestly. It's like I don't need to see anything about this Lions team. I know what I needed to see from this season. I'm ready, man. I'm just ready for playoff football. Like, this game doesn't really mean much for the Lions. I mean, because they need a miracle just to move in the seeding. They would need a Philadelphia Eagles and a Dallas Cowboys loss with the Detroit Lions win just to move up one spot, which is big, go from the 3 seed to the 2 seed. But, yeah, I don't know. It just feels like too many scenarios where last week, you know, it just kind of controlled your own destiny. But now you need all these what-ifs. It's like, I'm sick of the what-ifs, dude. We used to do that all the time with just the Lions to sneak into the playoffs. It's like, I'm ready for the playoffs, dude. I'm ready to go. This game really doesn't do much for me. I would say my interest level is probably like a 4 or 5. Like, the only thing I'm kind of interested to see is how they control their starters and how aggressive do they come out after them getting fucked in Dallas. That's pretty much all I got from this game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they do that. As far as how they control the starter limits, as far as how long are they going to play. Are you going to play a whole game? Are you going to play a few halves, a few drives? It's going to be it would actually suck if we do bench our starters and then we look at the scoreboard after the game of the other teams and Dallas loses and Philadelphia loses.
Yeah.
And then we had a shot to just win the game and then go to number two, and then but we, you know, decide to bench our starters, which would suck. But now this brings back to the original question.
I was literally just gonna say it goes back to your original question.
What do you value more? Do you value the health or do you value that number two seed to guarantee 2 playoff games in Ford Field?
I know Dan Campbell says he's gonna play his starters, and I believe him, but
he never said how long.
He didn't say how long. But everything from the Dallas game shows me that like they're not going to get a full game. I truthfully don't think they're going to play all 4 quarters, all their guys. Like, maybe a guy like Kirby Joseph will play all 4 quarters. But, like, I don't think Jared Goff plays all 4 quarters. I don't think this offensive line plays all 4 quarters like Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker and Frank Ragnow and those guys. Like, I think it's more important to have your guys rested going to this playoff game than going out there and having them play a full 4 quarter game.
Okay, so the key players, you're saying to bench the key players.
Yeah, I would say pretty much your offensive line, as far as like Ragnow and Decker, at least your veterans, at the very minimum, your veterans. And I would say Jared Goff.
So are you playing Jerry Jacobs or is he bench? Are you benching Jerry Jacobs?
I was thinking about that today. I'm like, does Jerry Jacobs play today because Cam's dealing with the toe already? Yeah, sure.
Oh, so you are playing Jerry Jacobs. You're not benching him. You're not.
He can play. Yeah, that's fine.
He can play.
Yeah.
You're not saving him for the playoffs.
Well, for what? To be a gunner? Save what for the playoffs?
I'm sorry.
Will Harris could get out there for all I care.
Oh man. Okay.
That could be a cornerback duo. Will Harris and Jerry Jacobs.
That really lower my interest of watching that game, because if those two were out there, I could guarantee a 1,000-yard game from fucking
Justin Jefferson.
And did that game alone.
Nick Mullins, 800 yards.
Nick Mullins, yeah, he's going to throw for 2,000.
Even Hutch, like, I wouldn't blame that much either in this game. Like, give some more opportunities to guys like Charles Harris and Romeo Aquara and those guys.
The fuck do they need more chances for?
I'd rather, I don't know. You showed me in Dallas by that, like, you didn't want to go to overtime so badly that I thought you were probably being more conservative for your players. I know Dan Campbell said, we're going to score this touchdown, we're going to go for two. But the situation changes after you get fucked over one time and you move back to the 8-yard line. The normal thing to do if you're not going to play for overtime is to kick the extra point, right? Mm-hmm. You showed me already that, like, you value the safety of your players more than winning the game, I'll say, right? And especially in this game, like, at least last week you're playing for a 2-seed. Now, I mean, you technically are playing for the 2-seed, but you need what ifs now. You need the Cowboys to lose. You need the Eagles to lose.
So what's the point of playing golf at all in this game?
I wouldn't be mad if they didn't play him at all. I wouldn't be mad if they didn't.
I know they are. They are going to play golf.
Yeah.
But what's the point? If that's your theory that you don't want these guys to get hurt, and you want to save these guys for playoffs, why are they even going out there week 7? Why are they going out there week 18?
Only thing I can think of is if you believe in momentum, which I think is a real thing, and you don't want to lose too much mojo and give all your guys a week off and let them just get some like playing opportunity kind of, and like treat it like a preseason game almost to a certain extent where they play a half or something like that. But I don't know. Like, I don't have a good answer. I don't think there's a good reason to play golf. I really don't.
Yeah. So let's just play the hypothetical game. Let's just say golf plays a drive or he plays a couple drives. Who comes in after?
I don't care. If it's Teddy Bridgewater, you want to give his farewell tour versus his former team, give it to him. If you want to see Hendon Hooker, which I think is obviously a lot more exciting than Teddy Bridgewater because that, you know, it's potentially your future and he's something new and he was a hyped college prospect. I think that'd be the more exciting option. It would be Hendon Hooker. But if they went to Teddy Bridgewater, it's like, I'm not really mad either way. But I don't know, man. I don't think there's really much value in playing your starters out there, especially like the guys that have been going through it all year, like Frank Ragnow and Taylor Decker, Jared Goff. Like, I don't really see much value of playing those guys.
I don't either, especially if you had the mindset of not wanting to go into overtime because you don't want to, you know, have that fear of, you know, maybe something happens to one of your key guys. Then, yeah, you're looking at this game right here, you're like, well, so what's the, if you did that last week, so what's the point of these guys going back out here this game? Well, you're still risking four quarters with these guys going out there, you know? So now it's like, you, what are we doing? are you saving? Are you resting your starters? Now you just question everything. you're questioning the decision to kick the field goal last week.
Yeah.
These guys are even going out here this week. Yeah. Even if they're going out here for a drive, it's the same thing as going in overtime last week. You know, it's like,
true.
Like, what is the result? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, and it's not like it's one of those situations where you're going to get the number one seed and you're going to get a bye week, and like, you don't want your guys to have 2 weeks off. Like, you're still going to play next week, guaranteed. Like, you were officially eliminated from the bye week. The San Francisco 49ers clinched that. So it's not like you're having too much time off if that's the worry. Like, I see some Ravens fans and some 49ers fans having a little, like, you know, a little caution saying because Lamar's not playing and Brock Purdy's not playing this week and the Ravens are probably going to rest a lot of starters this week. And the fear is that they're going to come out flat after a 2-week break, which I think is more understandable. It's a tough situation, man. It's because if you play your starters and one of them gets hurt, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? But if you don't play your starters and you come flat into the playoffs, it's like, oh, why don't you play your starters? So it's kind of like a lose-lose situation, honestly, and a win-win for the media.
Yeah. I mean, yo, all jokes aside, like, no bullshit, I really think Dan Campbell, that's Dan Campbell. All the excuses of, yeah, I'm not wanting to play another quarter to start, I just don't think that's Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell has his mindset that he's going to go for it. And that's what he's stuck to it.
Yeah.
Gambler. That's just Dan Campbell. I mean, I'm not buying the fact that he looked that deep into it. It was like, yeah, we went to overtime, and yeah, if one of these guys got hurt, I just don't think that Campbell went that far. And it felt like he just felt like, all right, we're gonna go for this. We're gonna score. We're gonna drive down the field. We're gonna score, and then we're gonna end the game no matter what happens. I don't care if this thing gets called back 18 times. we're going for it.
Yeah, and that's a little scary for me, honestly. It's a little, I mean, it's a bit reckless, I think.
And that's just, I mean, that's what we see from Dan Campbell from time to time.
We do,
reckless. He goes for it on his own 30 and on fourth down. He does reckless shit.
He does.
This is Dan Campbell.
He does, but like, sometimes you have to understand the situation. I think, like, I think context matters. Like,
context does matter. He had a defense that was playing well. We could have won the game in overtime, but then again, he has his mindset. Look, saying that he's going to score. He wants that we're going to score. And when we score, we're going to end the game.
He said the only thing that would change is if they got moved back to the 10.
Move back to the 10? Move on to 7.
That's what he said on the radio. He said if the 10 was the barrier, basically. If it's anything past the 10, he's going to kick the extra point.
You mean he would have went for it?
No. It would have kicked the extra point if it was 10 or farther.
It was 10 or further, but anything other than that.
I mean, obviously, he showed you that he was not going to kick the extra point if it's anything close or, you know, anything farther.
Yeah, so that's just Dan Campbell, guys. I mean, I honestly don't think anything changes as far as if we come across the situation again. I can see Dan Campbell doing this shit again. Cause this is Dan Campbell, guys.
My whole tone changes. If this is a playoff game.
Yeah, love it or hate it. Love it or hate it, man. This is what he is. At least he's bold. At least he's honest with it, and this is it.
Do you like that though? I like it to a certain extent, but like sometimes it's a bit
much. I mean, yes, sometimes, like I said, I'm okay with the chess match. If you're gonna play chess with your opponent and just, you know, be strategic and play chess, I'm okay with that. But sometimes, I mean, no, I don't agree with every fourth down call Dan Campbell does or every fake punt he does. I don't agree with all of them, but again, it's him. It's something you just gotta understand. Like, shit, our coach is gonna do some crazy shit. He's gonna do something wild, and he's gonna be like, "Yo, what the fuck?" But you gotta prepare yourself for it. This is gonna happen.
He said you have to wear diapers when you watch the Lions, and he's not wrong, man. He's not wrong.
I'm telling you.
Because sometimes, dude, it's very, very, very scary stuff. I mean, not to go back to the Cowboys game and going back to this whole decision, but like, especially if that was a playoff game or like a, I don't want to say important game because that was important, but like, let's say a playoff game because I think it's more important, right? And like, you have a hell of a play, crazy play, but it gets called back as a bullshit referee call, like. Don't even risk going for it again. Like, all I think the momentum is soaked away from your team at that point. It's like, kick the extra point and go to overtime is the way I look at it.
Yeah, you know what? And until I see a Dan Campbell do something different, I don't know.
I like to believe he wouldn't do that in the playoffs.
You like to believe he wouldn't do that in the playoffs?
He wouldn't do what he did in Dallas at the end of the game. I like to believe he wouldn't do that.
That he'll eventually will just kick the extra point and win the overtime?
I think after the first time, I think there was very possibility he would have gone for the first time. But if there was somehow, like, it got called back, and you got moved back to the 8-yard line.
I think 100% he'll go for it for the first time.
Yeah, the first time, yeah, that wouldn't shock me. But the second time, I truly believe in the playoffs. He would kick the extra point and go to overtime. And that context in that situation.
You know what? I really hope, for the sake of Lions fans and our sanity, I hope we never get a chance to find out if he does that shit.
That is the appropriate answer. That's the right answer. Hopefully, he never has to make that decision.
Hopefully, we never have to see that shit ever again, and he never has to make that decision. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, man.
I'm scared just thinking about it now, dude. I'm scared just thinking about it. But going back to this Minnesota game and the starters or sit the starters, like, where's your stance on it? What are you doing if this was you?
If this was me, I'll play our starters for until we score.
So kind of true. Not,
maybe like one or two drives. I'll probably feel it out. Say if the first drive and we go out there and we get like a three and out, I'll be pissed. I'm like, go out there again. God damn it. Fucking score. You know? And see what happens. I would literally treat it like a preseason game for our starters. And if they go out there and score the first drive, boom, give them a high five. I'll get them out of the game. If they go out there and score the first drive, I'll get them out of the game. But if something like bullshit happens where they get three and out, they're not moving the ball, those fuckers got to go back out there again. And I'll play those fuckers like that all the way to halftime if I have to, if they're not moving the fucking ball. But, yeah, initially I would want to see progress. I want to see them move the ball around, and then I'll get them out.
So you don't want a full four-quarter game out of them?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. And then how about the guys potentially returning this game? Campbell sounds optimistic that they want to get CJ out there and they want to get Aleem out there. Do you like that?
Aleem, probably not so much of Aleem, but CJ, I think you got to get him out there. I think you have to get him out there. You got to let him run around. He has to play football in how many months?
Since week two, so since September. So what is that? September, October,
yeah,
November, December. I mean, yeah, about four months.
Yeah, get him out there, knock some rust off. You don't want him to be in the playoffs rusty, you know. Have him go out there, run around, and then see how he feels, you know, after playing a game. And then we'll get ready for the playoffs.
Yeah. I think the same thing, though. Like, I think with McNeil and CJ, it's like, get him out there, let him get their feet wet a little bit and get ready for the playoffs. But same situation. Like, I don't want those guys playing a full four-quarter game, truthfully.
Yeah.
Especially coming off injury. It's like, you kind of want to be a little more cautious with those guys.
Yeah, you got limited snaps. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, limited snaps, but then still have them out there. I think all the stars are going to be limited anyway, so.
Yeah, they could do this, something like that. If they want to sprinkle the man in certain situations, like if he's not playing the full game, but you want to sprinkle him in a third-quarter situation, you could do that. I think that's fine. I think just be more cautious than give him 100% of the snaps, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you'd be even safer with Aleem because he played a lot of football this year. He played a lot of games this year. So it's not like a situation where he's like, CJ, who he played, one game before he got hurt?
Two
games before he got hurt. So, you know, I feel like if he goes out there, he's going to be rusty. You know, he hasn't played in some time. So having CJ out there is important. Aleem, I wouldn't bother me with Aleem if they hold Aleem one more week. Because I think, you know, I don't think he's going to have rust. I think he's going to go out there and be the same Aleem that was before pre-injury, you know, before he got hurt. So,
yeah. Well, it sounds like they're both going to play, which is good. But, like, we'll see how much it is on actual game day.
Yeah.
And then James Houston, sounds like he's going to miss another week and could potentially make his debut in the playoffs, which is big. I think for Houston, I think it's just – for me, it's like really just simplifying the game for him. Like, just go after the quarterback. I don't need this whole thing where you're in coverage or you're on special teams. Just go after the quarterback. That's all I need from you. Go, like, that's your best ability. We'll go in the offseason and we'll work on your game to, you know, fix up and make you a more complete edge rusher. But for now, you miss all these weeks like CJ where you haven't played since week two. Just go after the quarterback in the playoffs. I think that's a perfect situation for James.
Yeah. I mean, I would like for him to play this week. So he, I guess, it knocked some rust off because he hadn't played in some time either. You know, it's been since what's it been for him? What, 1 week?
Same thing, yeah. They both got injured week two.
They both got injured the same game.
Yeah, the Seattle game.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. That Seattle game fucked us. So yeah,
a lot of ways. Yes.
So yeah, man. Yeah, having him out there is good, man. I would prefer it to be this week so he could knock off some rust, but you know. If he gets rolling next week, that'll be exciting.
So for the injury report, I know it's a little different this week because, like, I mean, truthfully, I know you guys, I don't think a lot of you guys really care about the matchup all that much. We're not going to do, like, offensive, like, what the offense needs to do in this game or the defense, what's needs to do in this game. So I didn't think the injury report was as necessary as it usually is. So for the Lions, though, we'll just read the Lions. We're not going to even read the Vikings. Taylor Decker dealing with a groin injury, did not practice. Wide receiver J-Mo still dealing with that ankle, did not practice. Brock Wright has been out for a couple weeks, still dealing with that hip injury. He did not practice. Talk about James Houston with that ankle. He was limited. Tight end Sam Laporta with an ankle is also limited. Defensive tackle Lee McNeil, first practice since being placed on IR, was limited with that knee injury. CJ Gardner-Johnson, first full practice since coming back, which is huge. And then Frank Ragnow and Cam Sun were both full participants in practice on Wednesday.
That's good.
They're getting healthy at the right time, man. And I'm not trying to drink it, and hopefully nothing happens this Sunday, but they're getting healthy at the right time, dude.
Yeah, they are, man. It's huge. It's huge having all these guys back.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, that was your big free agent pickup. James Houston, that's one of your best pass rushers. And Alim McNeil, your best interior guy. Like, it's big stuff. And then I think we should also mention, just very quickly, the Lions have moved off of Isaiah Bugs and Bruce Irvin. Got any quick thoughts on that?
Kind of, man. The Isaiah Bugs. That one kind of shocked me, man. It did shock me because as far as that defensive lineman, our defensive tackles, I'm sorry. I didn't feel like he was the weakest link. I don't feel like he was the worst one. And as much of a – I feel like he was one of the vocal guys, one of the leaders on the team as well, being a vet. So having him, you know, having him release him was a shocker to me, man.
Yeah, and there's obviously no intentions of bringing him back. It's not like one of those moves where you're going to release him and then just bring him back to the practice squad. Like, they're moving on both ways. And it is a bit weird. I think they had other options if they want to do it, because obviously this means Alim McNeil's coming back and they need to make roster space for him, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I don't know, man. It looks like they're holding hope for some of these younger guys rather than holding on to Isaiah Bucks, but it was definitely interesting because, like you said, he's one of the vocal guys. I think he's one of the first, you know, he's been here almost since the beginning, like since the turning point of last year. I think the Lions' big thing was really improving this run defense, and they've obviously continued that since the second half of last year and brought it all the way into this season. And I thought he was a part of it, even when he was a healthy scratch for a lot of weeks. But I thought he was a big part of it last year and even a little bit of this year. So I don't know, man. I thought they could have went a different direction potentially and still made room for Liam rather than having to cut Isaiah. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be too pissed off because it's not like it's a huge loss. But it's an interesting loss, to say the very least.
Yeah, 100%, man. That's the same way I feel, man, that – you know, with Alim McNeil coming back and Isaiah Bugs, you can't be too pissed off about it because, you know, could have been worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think not to throw guys out there, but I'm gonna do it here.
Oh Lord.
Like it's kind of splitting hairs a little bit, but like, who would you prefer on your roster, Isaiah Bugs or Levi Onwuzurike? And for me, it'd be Isaiah Bugs.
Yeah, he's in bucks for me. But I think they bring different elements to the game. So maybe that was a factor too as well. Because, you know, how many nose tackles do you need? Like big fuckers. I mean they value the big fuckers because they plug up the A gaps and that's what they use. On early downs. But how many do you really need? Like you have a lot.
As crazy as this sounds, I think Isaiah Bucks honestly offers you more pass rush than Levi Onwuzurike. I really just don't think Levi does anything for you.
Shit, you're right.
I mean, have you seen Levi get home before? Or even like be in the backfield and like almost get home? I think he had 4 pressures we run it off yesterday, 7 total tackles.
Yeah. I mean, it was a shock that he even had stats. I didn't even know he had stats. I was gonna see donuts, so I looked him up. That's far as stats.
Like, no offense to Levi. I mean, this is actually very offensive, but like I forget about him all the time. And then I see him on the sideline, I'm like, and I see 91. I'm like, who the fuck is 91? I'm like, oh shit, that's Levi Onwuzurike. He's not dead. He's playing. He's not hurt. And I don't know, man. I think that's it's kind of splitting hairs. It's not a huge loss with Isaiah Bugs. Like, he's not the greatest player, but I don't know. I think he brings more to your roster, to me personally, than a Levi Onwuzurike. Like, I understand you want to keep Benito, who's been a starter all year for you. I understand, obviously, you're going to keep Broderick Martin, who you drafted in the third round. Like, you're not going to give up on him for Isaiah Bugs. But I think it comes down to Levi Onwuzurike and Isaiah Bugs. And it looks like Brad and the staff just, I guess, kind of valued, I don't know, what do you call it, potential with Levi? Because he was a high pick and, like, he's still young. Like, but truthfully, like, what potential does Levi have? I've lost it all.
Potential? What potential? What potential are you looking at? Like,
I don't see it.
I'm not saying he's bad or anything or like that, but he hasn't done shit and he hasn't done nothing here.
He hasn't. I mean, I don't know. I've lost all hope for Levi to be anything like more than a a bottom of the roster guy. Like, that's, I think that's the ceiling for him right now. And hopefully he proves me wrong. I've obviously been wrong before. Like, kind of almost thought that about for Iffy a little bit. But with Levi, it's just like, he's really shown me nothing.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe Levi gets more snaps and is able to, you know, do something this week.
Yeah, maybe. Bruce Irvin, interesting decision, but it looked like it was kind of a commitment thing for him where he just has other things going on in his life as well. Obviously, he's an older guy. And they got Houston coming back too soon. So I think the value of Irvin wasn't as much of a need, but I thought he brought some value in those three games he played for us. I enjoyed his time here. Gave us a little spark plug there. I think he helped these young guys out too. So I wish him the best of luck. I don't know if he'll play another game in the NFL, but I think he was a good piece for this team and a good add, even though like he's not going to help contribute to the playoff run.
Yeah. Do you think – oh, never mind. Forget all that.
What are we going to ask?
I don't know. My mind just went blank.
Okay.
I'm fucking tired. I'm fucking tired.
It is late. All right, guys. That's going to be a wrap to this episode. Hope you guys all enjoyed. We will be back on Twitter and YouTube before the game. Yeah, Malcolm's right. It is late. And yeah, we'll be live on Spaces after the game. And then it's time to prepare for playoff football. Did you get your playoff ticket yet?
I did not, man. I'm in the process of trying to see what day is everything going to be on.
Before we'll find out on Sunday.
Yeah, before I go crazy and start buying everything. And I also was hoping and praying that the tickets go down. That's what I'm hoping, holding out for.
Well, we got our official release from the Lions now. We know what they're selling them for.
Jesus, yeah.
It wasn't much better.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping they're cheaper, and we'll see what happens, man.
Again, guys, if you have any discount, you guys could always DM us. We're open on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. And we're open to offers.
I wonder, like, shit, like, how many people bought tickets? Like, is there a lot of, like, a huge Lions market of paying the $600 plus for these playoff tickets? And then the crazy shit is if they win the first game and they have a second home game, who's going to pay for the second one?
We'll all be broke.
I'm saying, like, if you went to the first one, they're more likely not going back to the second one. I don't think they're paying back-to-back $600. That's outrageous.
Could you imagine being like a diehard Michigan fan and a diehard Lions fans, and like you're one of those like diehards where like we are for Lions fans, like we'll travel for this team and stuff like that. And you just pay to go to the Rose Bowl potentially in Pasadena. Now you're paying for this wild card game. And then like you said, it could potentially be a divisional game. Like that is your – how much money are you investing into football and just – such a small sample size, like that's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild. That's what I'm saying. Like, if they have a second home game, I don't know who's gonna be out there, because that first crowd may not be out there, because doing it twice back to back, that's rough.
I mean, yeah, for those prices, because I said Lions fans showed up all year. And they've been pretty pricey, but not like now, like what they are for the playoffs.
Nah, that's a whole nother level.
I mean, it's more than double than what they were pretty much charging all season.
Yeah, and those cases more than triple, maybe, man, because those are the worst seats.
That's true. Yeah, we're talking about just like getting your feet in the building. You're not even like paying a little luxury to like go lower bowl. Like, no, that's just to get your foot in the building.
Yeah, man.
It's I get it, I truly do, but I don't know. I think I don't want to get into this conversation. I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, y'all. It's your boy Malcolm, and I am out. Peace.